Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Reminder, we will be going into major spoilers this time, so if you want to avoid that, start a previous episode, play along, and come back once you've finished the game. So, just to start, even the name Labyrinth itself already conjures up for me images of minotaurs, elaborate puzzles and schemes, and having experienced what we've seen so far in Silent Hill 2, probably many, many more horrors to fight our way through by the skin of our teeth and hopefully escape from. Needless to say, it's practically inevitable to get lost in a labyrinth. I think that's the whole point, which isn't ideal in Silent Hill. Not sure how you
No,
felt
it
about
wasn't.
coming up into a place called that.
I got lost a couple times.
Yeah.
I got lost a couple times with the monsters that are chasing you or you're trying to avoid. It had sometimes some consequences.
That's to say the least. And I think it's you descend the elevator right from the prison and you end up at a save point in called a labyrinth. And so my first thought is, okay, I guess it really does make sense to call it labyrinth right from that starting point because, the apartment is really windy and seems to be kind of disappearing hallways into each other and all that kind of thing. You especially see it when Angela just runs across and then there's just a wall there. But once you get to the true labyrinth, with the rotating cube and all that stuff, it becomes even more unusual. But like
Very unusual.
in that first section, when you're walking just through this weird version of an apartment that you've seen a bunch of times, that the mumbly whispering coming from the locked hallway doors makes you feel like something's gonna jump out. But also you remember that none of the monsters have really ever made any noises that could be even close to what you'd think is actual talking. So I was like, okay, maybe we're okay for now. Of course, you still tiptoe all the way down the hall. It throws you off a bit because every other noise has been like a squelchy thing or a grumble or a groan or maybe a shriek, but no talking.
No, exactly. Yeah, it was a bit off-putting.
You end up coming across Angela again, who's under attack by a terrible freak of a monster, but she's saying, "Daddy, please no." So is that her dad? It looks like, to me, it looks like the worst possible outcome of what happened to Han Solo when he was frozen in carbonite.
It's like Han and Chewie together merged in frozen in
Yeah. Not
carbonite.
the
It
injured
was.
image you want to be seeing, and especially flying at you. Yeah, it was really, really creepy looking. And so you see it pop out. You end up I ran away and found a room with a little more space, and really just dodged around it and whacked it with a pipe and got rid of it. It kind of like melted into the floor or disappeared. Then you keep following Angela. She runs into that closet full of newspapers, disappears into the wall. And I really like the level design here that at least this early apartment section of the labyrinth is just the exact same apartment a million times over, but so windy and not making any sense. And then you
Yeah,
end
it
up
is.
coming, It's just, it's a mind F, just to not get the adult language tag on our podcast here, but of just really trippy. It
Really
almost feels
was
like
trippy.
Inception in like a creepy way.
That's a good way to put it. Yes, I agree on that.
And right, so you end up fighting this and finishing off, like after you, how did the boss battle go for you? I mean, I thought it was super easy because it was just, Souls-like experience or action game experience. You just kind of dodge around, like didn't have to use any bullets and dodge around, smack it with a pipe over and over and over again, and again it goes down.
Yeah, that was how it was for me. Just was able to dodge every attack, then would be able to get 2 to 3 hits on him with the pipe, and then just keep doing that until it finished.
Which and really, between the piece of wood with nails in it and then the pipe, that has been my strategy with every new enemy I've come across. It's like, how well can I dodge this thing and hit it melee without wasting bullets, knowing it's a survival horror, before realizing, oh, it's gonna F me up, so I'm going to start shooting. And with this one, I didn't have to shoot. A pleasant surprise. But so after you finish off the abstract Han Solo daddy, as it's called in the officially, Angela seems to think you've either already abused her or will abuse her, like the monster you just killed did. And yes, she clearly has some form of trauma-induced schizophrenia that causes her to hallucinate, etc. But Then she, just like Laura, talks directly about James and Mary and says you loved Mary for a time, but then accuses you of wanting her to leave or go away. So not everything was sunshine and rainbows for James before Silent Hill either.
No, it was not. No.
And I think we won't jump to the end yet, but it's a very slowly unraveling mystery here.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely unraveling, definitely giving us some more context clues of, I guess, yeah, sort of the past or, yeah, what's happened with Mary and James.
And you end up, right, so you get past the boss, Angela kind of just goes away, and you end up in the True Labyrinth, or the entrance to the True Labyrinth, right? So you see the giant wall of wiggly arms thing that looks like it's out of a medieval painting.
Remind me of that. It also reminded me of the painting from Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, God. Okay, I got to rewatch that because I don't remember that exactly.
I guess I only think it because the dude who was in the painting like kind of came to life, but I swear it also becomes like a portal later on in the movie.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Ghostbusters 2. I didn't think I was going to add that to my October movie list, but maybe here it is.
I love those are the movies where one or two I can put them on.
One is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like a Home Alone for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So you get past that doorway, you get a save point, you walk down a little stairwell, and Maria's alive. She's locked up. She doesn't remember being stabbed by Pyramid Head, but apparently doesn't have a care in the world that she's in a cell. She says she's here for you, James, but also mentions a videotape you both made together in a hotel, which has to be referencing something that James did with Mary, because James asked Maria, how do you know about that? And she says, I'm not your Mary. And at this point, James is just totally confused, and the blank expression on his face again nails the fact that he's confused as hell, kind of creeped out, definitely in shock, and just trying to process what the hell is going on. My thought at this point was that maybe Maria is what James wanted Mary to be like when they were together. So he's imagining her here as if that were the case. That's kind of how I started to interpret it at this point. He's like, I don't know if there's actually a physical person there or if he's just imagining things. But how else would she be alive?
I don't know. But yeah, when I went into that room and she was in there, I was like, what? That completely caught me off guard. And she she has like a creepy smirk like on her face too. Like she has that, but then she looks dead in her eyes. And I'm like, I was like, I don't like this person. Like, I don't know who really this Maria is.
Is she like, some form of gonna demon? Stay away from
her. Yeah.
Yeah, like either, you know, zombies can't talk, so it's clearly not that, and she doesn't seem to have any injury. So is she a demon and just haunting you? You know, but anyway, you know, I just backed off and walked away, and then all of a sudden there's a giant freaking cube floating in the abyss and a little mini cube with faces on it. And I think the order of those areas is always the same of what it lets you do, so you end up in the rotten area. I mentioned last time I wouldn't be surprised if there were more bugs in this game because of how many bugs we had seen and holes filled with bugs and all that. Well, wouldn't you know, there are more bugs indeed.
There was a crap definitely load more of bugs them. In the rotten area. Yep.
And at some point, you know, were you able to ever sneak by those hardly visible steel mesh underhanger type enemies that when I first came across them, I expected them to look like lickers from Resident Evil, the way that they attack with a tongue type thing, since you can barely see them. But I finally got a good look, and it's like a weird sloth thing that swings like a monkey under the grating. I got hit every single time, even if I was trying to sneak by.
Yeah, they're mandarins, I think is what they call them. There was two earlier or something.
There were two in one of the tunnels. In the city.
Yeah, that was able to just run past those two.
I tried sneaking past them. I tried running past them, but no matter what, they'd shriek or hit me or whatever. It's impossible.
Yeah, no, these ones, this is where I said earlier, like, I got lost a couple times while I went around a corner and got stuck, and then I just got hit by a mandarin by the shriek, or then it's tongue or whatever it is that darts out at you and hits you. Mm-hmm. There are a couple times that when I'd hear it, the shriek, or when, not the shriek, full shriek, but when they do an attack, they also make a noise. So when I'd hear it, I'd just hit the dodge button and just hope to get missed by attack. And there were a few times where it worked. I would dodge and then I'd just somehow time it right and the attack would miss to the, yeah, to a different side. So, but then I tried to shoot one in that area a couple times and it seemed like it didn't do anything. I used it like 10 round or whatever. I was like, I don't want to waste rounds on this. I'm just going to just sprint past. And if I take damage, like just use health. I have a goodish amount of health. So like of bottles and syringes. So if I have to, but yeah.
Yeah. In one of the later sections of the labyrinth, when you come across them again, I was able to dodge them pretty consistently. It dodged the attacks unless they did the shriek stun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I do a new game plus for another playthrough of this, I'll keep that in mind to dodge during the yell. But yeah, I was getting hit every time when I was trying to sneak. So don't sneak with those guys. What's the point? And then, you know, unrelated, but considering how many times James had to stick his whole arm into disgusting holes in walls and toilets, I can't believe nothing bad ever happened to him while that was going on. Not once. He didn't get...
I'm expecting also confused him to get how he amputated. His hand.
Yeah, his hand comes out clean, doesn't it? That's unusual.
There doesn't seem to be any clean water anywhere. I mean,
have you seen the rusty syringes he's using? I don't think there's clean anything. Yeah. I mean,
dude's just got a huge immune tolerance to everything.
He's got a great
immune system.
Yeah, that would require an immediate hospital visit for anyone else. But hey, lucky guy. He didn't get his arm ripped off, damaged, mutilated in any way. That's unheard of. Also, so while you're going through the labyrinth, I think that random office desk with the nurse guarding it is where they really sent Milton from Office Space when he asked about his stapler too many times. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have.
It's like,
yeah.
That's pretty funny. That must be where they put him, you know. But he had a guard.
He's going to put you down in the basement, the way, way basement, or the labyrinth, as we like to call it.
Yeah. And he just keeps asking about the stapler. Maybe he used a stapler to fight the nurse.
A stapler? Stapler?
My first reaction to the desolate area of the labyrinth was, no, not more spider mannequins. I should have known they would be back. But you walk. I think they did a good job there because a couple times in that section, you walk up to where the save point is. And I, so far in this game, you don't ever get attacked in a save location. But you walk in and you see a spider mannequin crawl across the wall and the ceiling. And I just like, did they just break their own rule? And fortunately, it didn't, but they sure set up the expectation you're going to run into more of them.
Mm-hmm. It did. There were a few times in this and in an area later on where I will tell you, the mannequins and the spider mannequins got me. They got me good. Like, I was not expecting one to be where it was. And yeah, there was a few times I jumped, like straight jumped, like stood up slightly from the sofa because I was like, oh my God.
They
do a good job of placing things in places where I honestly, like, I was just like so in the mood, like in the zone, and be like just running here, grabbing that, and then for this here in the labyrinth, and then later on in the area we'll talk about, just jumping and getting me.
There's a lot of, I think the mannequins are the best jump scare of all time. Yeah, I have a comment on that too, actually. But the way that they just completely break the rules of the radio static not working and they don't move and they hide around corners and then just pop into life is...
Yeah.
But yeah, so you keep working through this labyrinth and the Pyramid Head chase and getting into his office or workshop is pretty good at ratcheting up the tension. I definitely got broadsworded twice in the back, which is no fun. Now I know what it feels like to be on the other end of Cloud Strife's attacks.
Oh, okay.
Ouch.
I didn't actually. I was able to get through that little section. Like I remember ran in and I ran to the left and I ran like right into Pyramid Head and I was like, oh no, wrong way. And I ran the other way, made it round into his office area, which I liked how there's like a little trophy of you just finding like his personal space.
Yeah.
And then I like looked back for a second at the door and I was like, okay, I don't hear him. So I started knocking down the wall. And right as I finished the last bit of the wall to knock it down, he came through the door. So I had just enough time to squeeze through the crack without getting
stabbed in the back. Yeah, I didn't get hit on the run into the office. I got hit when I was trying to leave because there was a lying figure, like a venomous one, I think, in that just like roaming around that area after you get the whatever it is you needed to get in his office. And I think it was like the wire cutters.
Wire cutters, right?
And so I ended up just getting smacked because I ran into the other thing and was trying to avoid it. It is funny though, because I don't know if they called it his workshop or his workspace, but it kind of just makes me think, what if he just wandered in there and he just like takes the helmet off, you know, puts on some glasses and just starts typing away?
That'd be funny.
You know, at this point, so you escape, use the wire cutters as fast as you can, and then Pyramid Head's looking at you while you go further down. I've also lost count, aside from the arms and holes, lost count by now of how many holes we've jumped into and how deep we are. I mean, we must be on the other side of the earth by now.
I know. It just keeps, yeah.
Like, you've hit either the earth's core or you're on the other end. There's no alternative because...
Also, I love how this one, We jump into the bottomless pit here, but then we end back in the original center of the labyrinth with where the cube is. It's such a trip. It's weird, but yeah, obviously... Twilight Zone.
It is absolutely a Twilight Zone. You know, most likely of your own making. And you get, after you do that, there's the gauntlet, I think the third section, right, of the labyrinth cube is the gauntlet of three combat rooms in a row with no save was crazy. I fortunately was able to survive my first try, but that's not to say, I mean, I'm glad all those rooms are stocked with some items because I used a lot of health items and so many shotgun shells, especially against those underhangers. I mean, I call them underhangers, but the mandarins in that third room. But even worse in this three-room section, worse than the enemies, is that damn alarm that makes a noise that no alarm should ever make. That drove the intensity up by infinity.
Yeah. That was that alarm.
And I had my headphones on, really, and it just like...
I think it also comes through your controller as well. Does it? Comes through my controller, because maybe it doesn't if you have headphones, because I don't have headphones on.
Probably
so it's come through TV and controller, and I was like, oh my God, this is so loud. I had to pause it, because I had like I like turned it down, and then I had to close the front door, because I was like, it's probably... just blasting out, echoing out. So I was like, I'm just going to close this.
It's creepy. It was creepiest alarm of all time.
Creepy. People have probably been like, what is this guy watching or playing? Or what is this? No, but yeah, those three rooms were, I think I got through the first room pretty easy. The second room was, I could have got through it better. There were a few times where like, I was trying using the pipe and, knock some stuff over, or for the mannequin where I'd like put two handgun shots into the knees and then hit it. But I don't know and I'm curious on this might be a thing because maybe you're just further in. Like the gun sway for me was getting like heavier and like,
yes,
James became I noticed so that inaccurate.
I was, you know what? That's a good
point. I was
point.
Missing I'm glad way that... more shots in this section.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That must be a manicured thing because I thought that I was starting to get joystick stick drift. I was like, am I just getting stick drift out of nowhere right now? But no, there must have been some, you know, intentional reflection of him losing his mind.
Yeah, because it became hard of trying to like just aim precise onto like legs or some parts. And so
interesting.
Then, as you did, like I just take the shotgun out where it has this big spray and I just would go for the chest and just be like, well, it's just,
you know,
damage him. Hit him.
In the first of the three rooms, I realized how many enemies were in there. And so I immediately switched to the shotgun. I mean, I tried, I think, with the handgun, noticed how drifty it was and didn't want to deal with it. So I pulled the shotgun out, and I was, you know, at that point I realized I had like 40, 50 shotgun shells. So I just like, F it, and started blasting away. And you know, once you get a little bit more ammo, you get a couple more shotgun shells, and you realize that there's going to be more than one room. I just kept it out and just kept using it.
Yeah. I will say I tried the rifle. I did not like the rifle.
I liked
the rifle. Sway was worse for me. It felt really quite inaccurate. Mm.
I didn't use the rifle there, but I'll mention that in a few moments.
I didn't use it there either. I'm just mentioning it. And yeah, I mentioned it later.
Don't love it. So after you go through this three-room gauntlet, you end up in a boss fight. Not a boss fight, but you end up encountering Pyramid Head. Can't be in a very narrow hallway, can't do anything about it. You've got the weird, creepy, wiggly arms in the back, which, you know, if you, I don't know if you tried this, but if you run into those arms, you get slowed down and pushed backwards, so you can't go where you want to go. And then, right, you know, the solution to that is they're afraid of Pyramid Head or something. And, you know, as he gets closer, they start opening up. So, I kind of just turned. I was realizing he's walking way faster than they're moving, so I turned around and just like walked backwards. And then the second I realized there's no more arms behind me, I turned around and sprinted.
Yeah. So for me on this, yeah, I didn't realize that they were gonna just like sort of like dissipate and go away as he got closer. I thought like he'd have to touch them. So I tried to. It's a small hallway. So the first time I tried to dodge around him. And I ended up dying because there's no room to really dodge around him. He takes up most of the hallway. And
you wanted to dodge around and have him like swipe at him or something?
Yeah. And so, and then I went back in a second time and I just was, yeah, back facing the hands on the wall. And as he came closer to me, I just like thought I just kept backing up because I thought maybe they just, because like just go away. So I kept backing up and I was able to just keep backing up without. He didn't even swing at me. He didn't even.
Oh, that's good.
Because I was able to keep a distance where, you know, I was able to keep a distance where I was backing up enough where the arms were going away. Like he was still close enough the arms would go away, and then they all go away, and then all of a sudden the labyrinth or whatever caves in, like on top of sort of Pyramid Head.
And yeah, so I didn't see that because I turned around and bolted. But you had mentioned that it collapses, which makes sense because. You know, you end up finding his sword just kind of hanging out next to your cube area. But so, you know, when you leave that boss fight or that boss chase, you escape and end up in Maria's cell. And she's lying there dead on the bed. I immediately was not convinced that she was dead this time, considering last time, and just kind of moved on and said, well, good riddance. I'm sure we're going to be haunted by you again. But yeah, so you pick up the giant Buster sword that Pyramid Head was using, and then it switches your control scheme.
It's awful.
To survival horror tank control. So that's how the original game was controlled. Ouch. You know, I played a bit of Resident Evil 1, the original one, on, I guess it was the remake on GameCube, and in the GameCube version, they still had tank control. Anyway, not, at least you're not in a combat scenario, and you're just grabbing the sword and walking to the door.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like a double stress, it's just a single stress, and it's why you're walking so slow.
It's very
I kind of wanted to use it as a weapon.
Turn it. I know. I was hoping it to, but to be honest, it would, yeah.
No,
it, swing it once been. And then
yeah.
I'd be like, okay, I'm done with this. Can I drop this?
Yeah.
Unless it's a one-hit kill.
Yeah.
On every enemy.
And so, right, you get past the arm door because they think you're Pyramid Head. When you come up on Eddie in that first room, the corpse he's talking to and shooting sure does look an awful lot like James.
I'm glad you mentioned this. Yes. You have the talk with Eddie, you look at it, and then before I went into the freezer to like chase him, I don't know if you did. I looked around the rest of the room, and I'm looking around the room, and there's like six bodies around on the floor,
there's or five or whatever. Six. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking at them, I'm like,
It's like I'm pretty sure they all have
the same jacket, the same haircut, and the same boots. And I'm like looking at myself, and I'm like, that looks exactly like me.
They're maybe a little bit more grayed out, but yeah, it is. I was like, those are five versions of you, and he's shooting at you.
So that made me think of how many times it did put that thought in my mind of how many times has Jane been back here. And
are we in a time loop? Has it, because people talk about things like they somewhat know you. Have this, is it just like a time loop where you're just completely doing this over and over again in a torture cycle?
It's literally a nightmare Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
That's what it made me think of.
Yeah, for sure.
And like Eddie's killed you however many times, but then this time we go into the freezer and we fight Eddie.
Yeah, I did not expect to have a boss fight against Eddie of all people. Just considering how much they made him look like that really immature kind of kid in an adult's body kind of thing. This is where I did finally use my rifle, though. And I almost exclusively used my rifle against Eddie because I was able to kind of get a beat on him, moving around, hitting the hanging corpses to take shots at him. So that was my main strategy against Eddie, was using the rifle.
Okay, I did use it a couple times in here, but as I said, for me, like to zoom down and in, it took a little bit to get the reticle to perfect, for me to get a good shot on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I used it a few times. The more I used, more of the handgun, but then there were a few times where if I saw him sort of running towards me, I switched the shotgun, and I just, the second like I saw him get close, just blast him with a shotgun, and then I'd dodge away. Before he could get, I did get hit a couple times. I didn't die.
Yeah, he hit me a couple times
in this fight. Oh, okay. I did get hit a few times. He took out quite a few of the pigs and other bits of meat that are hanging around.
I hate to break it to you, Alex. I don't think those are pigs. I think they were people.
No, they're not pigs. Well, then all the people. He took chunks out of them.
Moving on.
Shooting them a few times. Yeah, but
I ended up shooting a couple of them too, just to get a more of a clear line of sight.
Oh, okay.
So I did it like purposefully a couple times. Did you move around much? I basically found my way into a corner and then turned off my flashlight.
I didn't have, I turned off my flashlight. No, I moved around. I kept kind of dodging around.
I got into a corner, found where he was more or less, and then had the rifle prepped and was just waiting for him to start moving around. At some point though, I don't know, you get through a couple phases of this fight, and at some point he just started going in this loop of saying the same two lines every 10 seconds, and I wasn't moving and he wasn't moving. So I was like, all right, I guess I gotta do something because the AI is busted on this right now. But he eventually gets his health down far enough and he turns on the conveyor belt for the bodies. And yeah, that's where he started getting more hits in on me, but eventually was able to just take him out by knocking out more of the hanging bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, it was easy. Well, when it starts moving around, I could see him, obviously, when he'd run into the bits moving around.
Yeah.
And so I'd be able to sort of track him. There, as I said, there were times, I'd stay far away, but I could track him with a rifle, all with a handgun, get a couple rounds, and then dodge the side. And then there was a few times where he'd sort of run up to the platform where you first enter, and I knew sometimes when he was going that way that he'd be there, so I could just have my shotgun out ready, and right there is an opening clearing, and I had a clear shot on him, and I'd just take it and then move away. There was also a couple times where I got close enough to him, semi-sneaking behind him and other stuff, where I was able to hit him with a pipe, but just not very many. It was mainly with weapons, this fight, but a couple times I was able to get him with a pipe and then dodge and run away quickly before getting shot by his revolver.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll say I found this gameplay of this boss battle to be really fun, a bit different and interesting. I think it kind of draws a comparison for me. For anyone that's played Bloodborne, a lot of people seem to most enjoy the fight. Bloodborne has a bunch of large, oversized, building size bosses, but some of the best fights in Bloodborne are against other human-sized people or actual humans, but because they're more agile and entertaining, I think they did a really good job here. It also reminded me a bit of the end, which is a boss fight from Metal Gear Solid 3, in terms of just trying to sneak around and both of you are very stealthy and trying to stay out of each other's sights. As gameplay-wise, it was a great fight.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. There was a couple phases to it. It was a good fight.
This, you know, story-wise, this is the first time James has killed an actual person, not just some monster, at least in the story of the game so far. Unsure of otherwise, considering how unreliable he is as a narrator, but the trophy for beating Eddie is even called a human being to hammer that fact in.
Yeah, it is. And then you can see also, obviously, like the little cutscene afterwards, like he's looking at his hands that are just like shaking because he's killed. And I do notice in this fight, they did it. It's definitely in this one too, you sway more, even more than what we were swaying before, because it's a real person. You're attacking. You're not attacking a monster. He's not, you know.
He's startled by the whole situation.
Yeah. So I like that. I think that that's a cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool little thing that they did. Makes you feel like James is human in that. Yeah, it's a video game, but it's still human fighting another human.
All the little touches and little details, you know, between sound and lighting and something as simple as, he's more, he can't handle himself so much, so he's swaying around more in a stressful situation is really, really well done.
Yeah, it is.
And after leaving Eddie's meatpacking freezer boss room, you end up having to cross Toluca Lake to continue, the same lake where so many people have capsized and disappeared before, along with the thick fog going after the light in the distance. It's funny because it pops up a tutorial prompt for how to row the canoe. And the fact that they built this very unique mechanic into the game for what amounts to about 3 to 5 minutes total gameplay, and it's never used again. You know, they could have very easily just had it be a cutscene where he leaves and then arrives on the other side, but it just reinforces how much they wanted you as the player to go across the ominous fog lake yourself, like that long staircase down into the prison. It also came to mind, if we were doing a video podcast rather than clips throughout each section of the game, it would be so funny to just have a looping 3-minute video of James just rowing and just never end.
Never ends.
Then walking downstairs for the other episode. Another funny thing, while rowing, I realized, okay, I'm safe here. Just had a boss fight, and so I put the controller down and picked up my phone, you know, went to the bathroom, whatever. And when I came back, I had a trophy for being on the lake for 10 minutes.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I got that as well. I think you had texted me and told me about that. So then I just, I rowed around for a few, like, paddled around for a few minutes, and then I did the same thing, put it down, went away, and then came back, got the trophy. And then I did get lost on the lake. I said I was following the light, and then you keep going, and I didn't actually realize that it moves, so I just kept going in the one direction, but then it kind of like puts you into a denser fog, and then it resets you with the light back ahead of you, and then you have to just keep following it. So that did happen to me.
It was one of those lakes that's large enough to have actual waves.
I did make it across.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Wouldn't want to leave James paddling forever. We're just talking about how well those little details are. The sound of wood creaking while you walk on the dock on the other side with the water lapping at the dock was just another really good example of that. Arriving at the hotel also answers my question from last time too about will we ever make it to the other side of the lake. I guess Willy Wonka wasn't waiting for us after all.
No, it's a nice looking on the outside, but completely deserted hotel.
I mean, you end up getting a handful of minutes without anyone attacking you. But more importantly, when you finally escape the labyrinth and we're back outside, and especially arrive to this bright and airy hotel garden, did you also just let out a long exhale? It felt like we finally came up for air after almost drowning or something.
Yeah, I get that. No, but I totally get that. I think I did feel, I don't know, I felt though, yeah, there wasn't any enemies, but I didn't know that, so there was a part of me that still thought like it's just too quiet, like
that tension of why is nothing coming for me.
Like, I've put enough hours into this game now to know that, like, it's too quiet and something's gonna out or do. But you're right. For a little bit here in the hotel where it's kind of night, it's just, there isn't anything.
It's, you know, I think for me, what, you know, why it was such a relief to be in the garden there, that stretch from being dragged into the Otherworld hospital, then going through the Otherworld version of town outside in the streets, then this fully dark prison, then the labyrinth, just everything seemed breezy after that for a little while.
Especially after the prison. God, that prison was... that part was crazy.
On the second floor of the hotel, when you walked into the room full of posed mannequins, were you like me and immediately start taking shots at every single one of them?
Yeah, I'd walk up slowly and just swing to see if I could hit them. There are, yeah, because there were a couple mannequins in there, a couple actual ones that we had to kill.
There were, yes,
I was.
But all the ones that I was shooting them anyway, just in case they made a new mannequin, because they all had heads and arms, not just double legs. But they, of course, they hide them in the back corner where you get a false sense of security after none of them reacting to you, and then bam, there's two.
Yeah, it was. It's a good. It's smart, as you said. Some have sheets over them. You can't tell if it's.
Can't tell.
Yeah, I was trying to swing. I shot at a couple just to be like, okay, please. Then one did pop out. It didn't actually get me, but I had just seen like a bit of its leg right before it popped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Lakeview had a lot of puzzles. This was a very quite puzzle heavy section. But they
had a lot of
unique.
It had a lot of fun puzzles. It had a lot of fetch an item to make the puzzle even work moments. It, you know, but it felt kind of like a bit of relief, almost like you've been through this crazy intense section for many, many hours now. It's a little bit more relaxed. You've got a bit more puzzle solving. There's still plenty of enemies in here, but you're able to kind of find things out. And yeah, I mean, I for the most part enjoyed all the puzzles in the hotel.
I was just gonna say I enjoyed all the puzzles, and the main puzzle was just when we get in there, it kind of, there's like a little note, I think right at the start being like, meet me in 312 or something. Yeah. So
yeah,
I'm waiting for you. Well, right as you pick up the map, it says like, I'll be waiting for you in 312.
And there's a message on the reception desk too, saying, oh, the videotape you left isn't a safe.
That's right. Yeah.
So you get a couple hints, right, of what you need to do and where you need to go. But
what
of
you
course,
need to do.
It's mostly linear here, so they throw you a bunch of things you need to get to, and then they have walls in place to make you go everywhere else first. And I'll say, you know, picking up all the notes and the memos, the cleaning crew of this hotel has their work cut out for them, both between being disgusting, but all those notes from management or whoever with so many orders, pretty over the top.
Yeah, very much a micromanager.
Yeah, for real. Like, and, you know, actually, now that I'm thinking about this, that's a faceless manager. I'll just jump ahead. You don't ever find out more details about who the hospital director was. There was one more, I think, Rick voice recording about how he was working on or working with or working on Mary. But I wanted to know who he was, and I never found out.
No, yeah, never fully told us who it was.
So, you know, you're going through the hotel, you end up in the conference room, you open the fireplace, and then you have the Mandarin boss fight, and you can finally see what they look like, and it's weird. I mostly dodged around the tongues, used a bit of shotgun and a lot of pipe. It's pretty easy, though.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I think I did the same. I used the shotgun. Definitely use a shotgun on this one. And then, yeah, just was able to sort of dodge. You could kind of, they telegraphed sort of their attacks.
Right.
You could tell, like, it would swing backwards before it would swing forward to lunge at you. So you could definitely just dodge out of the way on that. And then if you want to, you could hit with a pipe. But I said, I was just like, nope, I have some clean shotgun shots. I'm just gonna take you out with that.
and you know, you get the, and you start realizing, okay, there's multiple princess statue or figurine things that are going to be part of some puzzle somewhere. And obviously the original, in most cases, the original stories that inspired all those Disney movies, which I think is our generation's frame of reference for those stories are really dark stories to begin with.
They are way darker than the Disney
not
ones.
Not surprised that they end up here. But that's neither here nor there. After the Mandarin boss, I find it really funny that you end up finding a room with a blood red paint can color. It's almost like one of those mystery detective movies where someone was trying to cover something up by throwing out a bunch of red herrings. It makes you wonder if the same applies here. There's no explanation for it ever, but came to mind.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And you go through kind of like a series of Mandarin encounters here because the stealth-only section and the employee basement where you have to ditch all of your items in a locker before taking the employee elevator, when you end up with no way to fight back, was not as tense as I was expecting, mostly because the Mandarin rats were pretty predictable and there was enough space in the hallways if you did run into them that you could just kind of dodge and run by.
I was a little worried going down. I was like, oh, I was expecting like to be sort of covered, but it was only about one or two Mandarins really in each section. So it wasn't, as you said, it was pretty predictable to figure out their paths. It was very easy to predict, figure them out. There was one time somehow a Mandarin, like, I guess sort of saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not 100% sure how. I didn't bump into it. I didn't really get close to it, but like I was in the middle room and it actually like attacked me and I was like, okay. And so I kind of just hid in a corner in the middle room area.
Yeah.
First part of the employee place.
Oh,
and then it kind of just went back to, yeah. And then it kind of just went back and then I was able to just sneak around again and get to where I needed to go. But yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, we did, I think in this first part, what is it? You have to sneak around to find these. Is it they're like gemstones? I think in
you find some gemstones and you end up plugging them into a box and then you end up with the safe code. And then from there, you're
one of the
stuff.
For one of the gemstones, if you remember in the kitchen there, you have to get past like an acid lying figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to, it like came into the room that you're in before the kitchen. And then I just dodged around it and I just sprinted. I was like, nice. I'm sprinting. I saw the gemstone. I was like, pick it up. Exit out. I'm like, nope, because I was like, I have nothing to deal with you. So,
just right as I jumped through that window to escape the acid figure, it was enough in the distance that I saw it about to round the corner and was able to pop into kind of an alcove to not let it see me. But yeah, that would not have been fun.
You get the random trophy when you're running away from the kitchen called It's Bread.
Oh, from looking at the rack of bread.
Just looking at the rack of bread. I was running and I saw like a little action like thing and I was like, okay. And I pressed it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's exactly one of those. It's like a FOMO, like, oh, there is the action prompt is available. I gotta go click it even though this thing's breaking down my neck.
Exactly.
It's the completionist thing. You see something available, you gotta do it.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed, and then after that, the whole gemstone puzzle, it was just a small little puzzle. One, I enjoyed placing the gemstones until you get the picture to align with the picture that's on the wall.
And the rotations, it was like weird.
And then it gives you the code to that safe that's in the break room area, the safe area. So.
And the numbers burnt into a piece of paper. Like someone's got a brand just burning things.
Yeah.
Creative, they but
ran
weird.
Out of pens.
Yeah. No more pens. Let's just remove from the paper.
Yeah.
It was, as you continue, I mean, even before this, it happens too, it was unusual to see the hotel become more and more damaged and decrepit as you go through certain sections. And you mentioned Groundhog Day, and that's like the whole time loop thing, but I guess we were time traveling here, maybe, even though James is just not flustered by it at all and sees things in normal time, or at least his idea of it all, because you end up going, you walk into the hotel, it's, pristine but empty, and then it gets a little more damaged, and then it ends up on fire and flooding.
Yeah.
So it's like you're jumping through time just by doing random things, but whatever. I will say, so going back to that, the princess puzzle, so the music box where you have to get all three princess figures, attach them to this music box thing, they're all in these tracks and you spin them around. thought that was pretty creative. And then afterwards, you end up with another kind of poem thing. So whoever, you know, the developers of this game and the director are poets, I guess, because they sure loved using them in their puzzles.
Yeah, they love little, like the poems or the limericks, like little riddles, yeah. Everything like that. They really, yeah, someone was a big fan of this, putting them in there. And it was, yeah, the puzzle was fun. It was, took me a few tries to get the first section of it, of getting them on the right track to get to the door.
Yeah, fortunately, it doesn't reset you too hard or like break anything. And so it's like a trial and error at a certain point, but you kind of map it out, but then sometimes it doesn't quite work out.
No. And then, just the little poems on the bottom to figure out when, how many times you have to turn each key, and then works out, which was, just another
creative
puzzle.
And, you know, okay, so your reward for that, I think, was the room key. No, you already have the room key. The VHS tape, possibly?
No, I thought, didn't we get the VHS tape? I thought that came out of the safe. I don't
remember what exactly the you're right. Yeah, that was in the safe. You get something
else. The safe had a stairwell key and then, the videotape. But yeah, you get something else out of that. What was out of the...
Either way, you end up getting... was the key to access the gate, the security gate, to get to the room 312.
That's right, to get to the third floor on that side. That's
and correct. And yeah, I mean, you already have, you know, you walk in, there's just the couch ominously set right in front of the TV, the old CRT TV, and you got a good old-fashioned VCR on the floor and the VHS tape you already picked up. I guess they couldn't update the remake to have streaming instead of VHS. Probably wouldn't make a lot of sense. But you watch the videotape, and well, James is an asshole. He killed Mary all along. But she's still talking to him, saying that she's waiting. You know, she should really rip him a new one if she actually shows up. That's what I was thinking in that moment.
That was a crazy videotape. I'm watching it, and then it kind of like flashes in and out. It looks like he like puts a pillow over it or what. Yeah. kills her. But then I was also thinking, like, is he actually killing her, or was the videotape showing something that like he had thought about, like, I don't know,
he thought about doing.
And so I was like, well, we'll probably find out closer to the end. But I did, my original thought was, oh my god, he killed his
he killed yeah, right him, and so. and of course, you know, Laura walks in at that point, and you end up immediately losing that friendship, or let's say loose companionship of Laura, because he just admits, no, actually, I killed her. And, you know, after watching this videotape evidence, you end up in Otherworld. And as I mentioned before, the Otherworld hotel is totally burnt to a crisp, and it's surprisingly devoid of enemies for large sections. And once you do eventually find them, they just kind of stumble and then keel over without someone just laying a finger on them. It did feel pretty good to be able to run for a bit and stretch the old legs.
I shot one. Killed one. Mainly because there was one specific trophy that I had seen like from a while earlier, and I just hadn't done it. And it was basically, you have to kill an enemy with every type of weapon. And I just hadn't killed anybody with a rifle yet. I had damaged, but never finished something with a
rifle. I killed somebody with a rifle, so that's how I got that, yeah.
Okay. I just put one shot into one, and I got it. That was it. That was the only one I got. It was just, I came out, I saw one monster, I was like, I know I have to do this. And then everything else I just ran past. Because, they kind of died on their own.
You're getting them when they're already down. That's not very nice.
Yeah, I know. It was just one. I think it was a nurse, too. A bubble nurse, so.
Yeah, and you end up right after that is where you end up coming up on Angela, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that might have been,
isn't it? I think that's where you go down into the basement from there, if you're not already there, and you end up finding Angela.
Oh yeah, you're right.
The fiery staircase.
Yes.
And you know, nothing good, right?
She's like hung up, Abstract Daddy, as if he is
I think there were two. Painting. It looked like one was on each wall, but
okay,
maybe that was just
one. And then she's climbing the stairs, but then it makes you think, like, because she says, like, you can see it too, or whatever now. Like, does he see the fire fully?
Yeah. He sees, because you see the fire. He sees the fire. So I guess it's her fire. And I think, you know, I'll jump ahead a tiny bit because it kind of applies here, right? So I think it's really heavily implied that most, if not everything that's happening specifically in James's mind, and all these things are manifestations of his own guilt or emotions, it shed a lot of light and recontextualized things for me. I know I said before that it looks like Angela's hallucinating because she keeps talking to things that aren't there, but now she mentions, oh, you see the fire too. But considering that the town of Silent Hill seems like it's and drawing people to visit to then force them to face their demons, it looks like she's not hallucinating. She's just in her own version of the other world, and you're wandering through it. I mean, she is, so is James, so is Eddie. And she just starts yelling at things because that's what she sees. So, like, I don't know, not a good place to be. It also kind of makes sense why Laura never seemed to be too bothered by anything, and she's just willing to run off into dark hallways full of monsters with no care in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
But I guess the things she's yelling at don't exist in James's reality except for the abstract daddy. At this point, she also asked for her knife back, so it looks like she's still considering offing herself. Even though, you know, you've helped to get rid of her tormentor.
When she first sees you, she says, Mama, Mama, she calls you.
So, yeah, she thinks you're Mama. On.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
Which was odd. And then she goes up the stairwell again to fire. See. Yeah, and that was kind of it. And I was a little disappointed because I was hoping to get a little more on Angela. Like, I don't
know. Yeah, and that's really the last time you see her. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the last time you see her. So I was kind of like hoping, like, who really is she? Like, we've seen her multiple times through this.
Yeah.
Like, is she alive or is she actually dead already?
Beats me. Like,
yeah.
Your guess is as good as mine.
I know.
But yeah, I don't think we'll ever find the answer to that out, but she was clearly a troubled person and
she needed
some help. And she's the one that's been around since before you even find any enemies, right, in the graveyard. So yeah, she warned you not to go into Silent Hill, and you just went and did it anyway.
That's why this part of it wonders if she is like a good, or she's something, because you see her out there and she gives you a warning, almost, but it's more of like a, like she's trying to pull you into it. Like, don't go, but yeah.
It's almost, you know, now that you mention that, it makes me think it's like she's an embodiment of the town of Silent Hill in the first place, because you have a chance at that point to leave, but she kind of like makes you FOMO want to go in anyway. And, you know, James said, I'm going to go no matter what, but maybe she kind of did that on purpose. That's like, but then why was she abused and miserable? So maybe only one of those is true.
I don't know. She has like her closet area too, which is her safe space that was in the labyrinth and all that back earlier.
If anyone has other thoughts on this, let us know on Discord, because I'm very curious if anyone has some insight there.
Yeah, anybody has this extra lore that they know about Angela. It's just curious to just know, because it was just kind of like she walks up the stairs and just leaves abruptly, and it's kind of like, oh, with a bit of like open ending of what could be with her.
You know, moving on from there, there's the double pyramid head boss fight, and They're both wielding spears instead of great swords. I don't know if that's because he dropped it in the labyrinth collapse, but holy hell. If one pyramid head is bad, two is obviously double that. I guess up until this point, I hadn't realized there was more than one pyramid head. I thought it was just one guy and not a family. Like, it's like his twin. Also, I mean, the boss fight itself was relatively simplistic. They stab at you with a spear, eventually start throwing them at you. I kind of just made them run into each other and then shotgun them in the side the entire time. Did I run out of ammo? I think I didn't run out of ammo, but I used a lot of health because I did get hit a fair amount.
Oh, okay. I didn't. I like the beginning of this. Obviously, you come in and they have Maria again. There's Maria again.
Oh, yeah, upside down in a cage.
Upside down in a cage, and then they kill her again because it closes up on her face and there's blood dripping down. They obviously stab her with one of the spears through whatever part, so it's like, Okay, they, well, they just, that's what. It's like I've lost just track. What time is that now? How many times?
Shoving it in your face that she's gone and you can't do anything to stop it, I guess, over and over again. And also, why did they skewer their own heads?
That, okay, so, yeah, I will say, because you said I did well on the boss fight. I had to use some health, but I was actually proud of myself. I was able to dodge pretty, like, with pretty good time of, like, their spear throws and the thrusts to just miss them. And then I was like, I don't know how far I am through this fight. Like, I just keep shooting with shotgun, switching between shotgun and handgun. And then all of a sudden, they just both stop, and I was like, uh-oh, what's coming next? And then they
Power Rangers Megazord into a giant pyramid head?
Yeah, I know. And then they just stab themselves both through the head with their spears. I was like, oh, okay, they just skewered themselves.
Yeah, you know, pyramid
head. Back to the reference of skewering earlier, of where they
do that. You know, we wanted pizza before, now I want some kebabs. I'm a hungry person, apparently. I'm always talking about food. But yeah, pyramid heads, plural now. You continue to confound me, and I applaud you for it, because it's really weird. But fun fact, did you know that the character is officially called Pyramid Thing, not Pyramid Head?
I did not know that.
Apparently, that's the official name by the devs, and everyone just started calling him Pyramid Head, so that's literally everyone refers to it as that.
That's Pyramid Head.
And okay, you know, you just saw Maria get skewered for the upteenth time, and then you end up fighting Maria as the final boss. It was definitely trippy. I do have some lingering questions too, like, why was Maria attacking James in the first place? Is it just a if I can't have you, then die type obsessive thing?
I like how this final boss fight starts. Like, you walk up there and it's Mary. It starts as you're talking to Mary. And then obviously for like all games, I have subtitles on as well as the talking, but like you see, and it'll say like Mary and then what they're saying and all that. And then all of a sudden it changed to Maria, and then you can see the face changing. And I was like, that is cool.
It's Maria in Mary's clothes, Mary's body. And then she just says, you don't need that one.
Yeah.
And you know, but the boss fight itself was pretty fun. It had a couple phases. There's like the weird moth attack thing, then you end up fighting against the Mandarin version of her in a really dark room that was pretty small, and then back up on the roof again. So I enjoyed it. It was easy enough, though. Got it first try.
Yeah, same. It was easy enough. This was where, like, I still had a good amount of ammo left on my stuff, and I just was like, well, what's the point? Like, I know, like, I'm at the end. Like, this is the finale.
Yeah.
Like,
just
using it up.
Use all the ammo. Yep.
Actually, for the first, there's like three sections to the fight. The first section, I use basically all handgun ammo when she's in the cage, kind of coming at you. And then that's the funny part. You fall through the roof, but then she's a Mandarin type thing that's climbing through the roof. So a roof comes back.
And then you end up back on top of the roof.
And then you end up back on top. Yeah, the second part, I used the shotgun because it was more of like you can follow her, trace her, and then when she dropped down close, just boom, like just put a shot right into her. And then the third section, yeah. The moths also weren't too bad because you could dodge, like they flash red, and if you time it right, you can dodge their attack and knock it. I got hit a couple times.
I just kept running in a circle around her the entire
time. Yeah, I just had to. She almost got me a couple times where it gave me like the actual like medical symbol. And I was like just holding down to give myself a syringe to fully heal up. But yeah, I got through it. And then, yeah, what is it at the end? She just kind of is then like lying there. Get to the last part. She's like lying there in the cage. It's like a flesh lip type Mandarin cage looking thing. And walk up and she goes like, James, and all that. And like, no. And then I just pulled out my rifle and said, nope. And just shot her straight in the face.
Yep.
And then that's basically the end. That was the end. And then you get your final cutscenes. Your actual depending on what you do, I guess, your ending.
Yeah, and so, you know, I don't think I realized it until right before the credits roll or right after the credits roll. And you see your stats screen of, you know, how many times you've shot, how many health items you used, and which ending you got. And there's multiple endings. And And I guess we'll talk about both of ours because they were different, we found out. I think in mine, I mean, I guess I'll just jump in. In mine, you end up having a conversation with Mary on her bed when she's all diseased. And throughout the conversation, she basically comes clean and apologizes in this kind of monologue between the, you know, that long walk down the hallway before the Maria fight. And then in this conversation for just being an asshole to James during her sickness. So I guess she, when she got sick, realized she was going to die, started just becoming really rude and aggressive against everyone that she knows. But he says, I'm so sorry for killing you. And she basically just says, it's okay. I told you I wanted the pain to stop. But then he turns around and says, it's actually because I hated you.
Ooh.
And when you hear that, that's the first thing he says. And he clarifies it a little bit that he wanted, you know, since she became sick, he wanted his independence back. Like, not to leave her necessarily, but he didn't want to be constantly taking care of someone who was constantly lashing out at him. So he felt basically trapped in the whole situation. At the end of the day, she kind of asked for it. But, you know, in my thoughts, Mary deserved better than her disease and definitely better than James, who's kind of a piece of trash. Meanwhile, he seems to have gone to Silent Hill in the first place, trying to find her in search of forgiveness, but he definitely does not deserve it. And, she apologizes for being an a-hole, but I don't know, why not, you know, instead of suffocating with a pillow, why not just use like simple injected euthanasia method? The interesting thing is he walks out into the streets of Silent Hill again, hands the letter to Laura, who's painting on the wall, and then the next thing you see is they're in the graveyard from the beginning of the game and then just leave. So they're walking out of town. Like I don't quite buy that Laura would leave town with James after he admitted earlier that he killed Mary and then she was friends with Mary. I don't know why she's just going to be like the adopted daughter of James at this point, but also, yeah, still no clue about what happened to Angela.
Laura is the other one where you saw her in the hotel and she disappears and we don't see her again. And obviously, I guess you see her then in your ending, but
her again. Okay. Who is it?
No. Who is Laura? Like, I didn't know. Like, is Laura for some reason, like, is it a daughter? I don't know. If there's at some point inside, I don't know. Or is it, as she said before, just like a really good friend of Mary's? And I feel like there's more to Laura too, but unfortunately, it's not, there isn't as much clarification. But yeah, that's interesting. Your ending, then you walk out. So, okay. So you got the ending because you just said, so then you leave. I think the ending that you got is actually called Leave.
Yeah, I think so.
If I remember rightly, there are, I didn't watch them. I don't know all of them, but I looked it up quickly because I think there's like 8 different endings to this game.
Yeah, and supposedly two of them are joke endings. And
okay.
Everything besides yours and mine and one other are all New Game Plus only.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, a couple of New Game Plus only. So my ending was we finish the fight, and then it kind of flashes to James right at the beginning of the game, where you're outside Silent Hill, and he gets back into his car. He gets back into his car, he turns the car on, and... Well, he doesn't turn the car on. He just goes, gets in his car. He sits in his car, and then he's like kind of looking himself in the little mirror, and then looking around the car too, and basically saying like, "I'm sorry for what I did to you, Mary. I'm sorry I hated you. Like, I can't do this anymore. I miss you. I can't be myself. Like, I can't be without you." And a few other things, just basically saying like, "I don't think I can." Yeah. Don't think I can do this anymore. I can't be without you. And then it goes darker screen and you just hear him start up the car, reverse out quickly, and then peel off. And then you hear a big crash, kaboom, and then a bunch of water going.
And that's like an awake overview, isn't it?
And then all of a sudden you just see, because my ending was called In Water, the letter, like it's being, then Mary reads out her letter to James.
Mm-hmm.
But it's floating down in the water.
Mm.
So basically James crashes his car into the lake and kills himself because of his guilt.
Yeah, and so okay, so that was
everything
a
he feels
dream
Mary.
Or a hallucination the whole time, and then he just like, all right.
Yeah, well. So I got, you got considered, was considered the good ending. I got what is considered a bad ending, but not the worst ending through what the playthroughs, I guess,
are. To be honest, I'm surprised they weren't all bad endings.
Yeah, so I did look up like the third ending. Oh, I guess that you can get. It's called Maria, and it's if you really... I don't know what you have to do. I'm assuming you have to really engage with Maria, like, a lot in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically... From what I saw just a very quick clip. I didn't watch the full-blown ending. But it was like you walking... And it starts with you walking out of Silent Hill with Maria and being like, yeah, let's go, and all that. And then she... like gets to a point like outside close to the car, and then she starts to like freak out. It's like she can't leave Silent Hill, and then I think she drags you back in.
You get dragged back into Silent Hill by Maria, the one that's been super creepy the entire time.
Yeah, I think that's, and that's, I think it's the bad end, because then you're just in a loop over and over if you get that one.
But, no thanks.
Yeah, I know. But I still got a bad ending, but it was just, I was like, I actually didn't catch it. I actually had to, I YouTubed my ending again, because the first time, like, when I did it, it didn't actually really catch, like, what he did. Like, driving off the bridge.
Right.
Into the lake. I was just like, why is it floating in water for a split second? Like, it just didn't hit me, and then it kind of hit me, and then I just rewatched it, like a 15 minutes later, I like just found someone on YouTube. I just Googled the ending and rewatched it. I was like, oh, because then I like really heard like the car, because he's sort of talking over it, the car peel out and then crash, and you can hear the water splash. And I was like, oh no, James. I was like, no. So yes, well, so that was my ending.
I'm curious James. What you did differently to end up with that situation.
I am too. I don't like,
if
I don't
I'm
know.
Sure we could. That sounds like something that's easy enough to look up, and we can look it up. But if anyone knows, let us know.
I'm sure there are certain things.
I mean, I think there's a lot of subtle things here that probably affect it more than like the obvious things in some other games that have multiple endings.
As I said, like, I looked up the Maria one. I'm pretty sure to get the Maria one, you probably have to
just
engage
like
with her like all the time, constantly talking and or checking on her and everything, like, constantly.
That sounds like something that you do deliberately when you know it exists as an ending, because
I did not
want to do anything.
I did not
have anything to do with Maria.
I had her for the bit at the beginning, and then when she was in the jail cell, like, I saw her once in the jail cell, and I was like, I'm not, like, I checked on her once, I think, in the hospital, and that was it, earlier in the game. Was it? Yeah.
I mean, that was before you realized how creepy she is. I mean, she's obviously very, like, pushy and trying to seduce James, but then eventually she just flips a switch and turns ultra demonic. So when the credits start rolling, at least I'm curious now, because if you got the same one, because the song that plays there, I'd call it melancholic, but it was like a hopeful kind of tone to it. I mean, I wonder if she just got a dark, sad song the entire time.
Maybe.
Or if you remember. It was interesting, though, because it played this, like, you know, sorrowful but hopeful song. And then eventually, after like a minute or two in, it switches into a couple of really awesome heavy metal instrumental songs. When I just sat on the results screen long enough, kind of just analyzing what the stats were.
No, I think it's the same music, because I remember songs. So, yeah. I don't think mine was much different.
So, I think, you know, we've gotten through the credits here. There's a lot of room for interpretation now after all the story revelations. And, you know, we want to hear from you all on Discord what you think it all means. But, Alex, what the hell do you think was going on?
I don't know.
To give you more of a leading question, what do you think the other world is supposed to be exactly? And why do you think we kept bouncing back and forth between the regular foggy Silent Hill and the dark, you know, inexplicably tinged in red all the time Otherworld, rather than just ending up in Otherworld and staying there until you escape?
I feel like the Otherworld is the guilt. It's his guilt of killing his wife. I feel it's just the guilty, darker side of James. That's the Otherworld. I don't know. I guess it's a version of hell.
It's his version of hell. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's
that seems like a reasonable thing to do, to expect, I guess. Yeah. I was curious about why he's bouncing back and forth. I mean, maybe he, after he spends some time in the other world, like if that's true, if it's his version of hell, like which either he mean mentally or he's already dead, or if it's just a various stages of his losing his sanity, you know, subconsciously or consciously. I mean, I guess maybe it relates to him going through the other world a fair bit and then like kind of getting some strength out of overcoming something and then kind of getting semi back to normal. And then he ends up losing and spiraling again and going back there. That'd probably be my explanation. But yeah, he spent a long, dark time in the other world and would not like to join him.
No. The other world was not a fun place.
Something that I also started to do and did it a little bit here and there throughout the game, but then did it in that last hallway where the monster just die on their own. I think there's some degree of meaning behind what the monsters are. You know, obviously they design something really terrifying and grotesque and all that, but when you look up close at their faces and just their forms in general, except for Pyramid Head and the Abstract Daddy, they all look like women. This might hint at all the enemies being some sick representation of women in general that James has, or more specifically about how he thinks about Mary, whether it's physical aspects or the way her disease affected her physically and emotionally and how she lashed out at him. She, because you didn't get to see it in your ending, when he's talking to her on her deathbed, her face is all like, has a bunch of like black scars or almost something like that. So the disease is clearly taking hold, and I guess he saw her deteriorate physically.
So I'm assuming, does she get, obviously, I don't know, and I don't think it's
special.
Does she have the plague that's mentioned in the game where all those people died? Yeah,
that would make more sense. For some reason, I had always just assumed it was cancer, but a dark plague makes more sense.
Like, yeah, she has what had first hit Silent
Hill.
Whatever
they were talking about there.
Whatever, yeah, in the history of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so that probably makes sense because you see Mary all messed up, basically. So maybe some of these enemies are just what James kind of like projects onto some other people, enemies, whatever. But like all the ones have very specific details. So like the lying figures look like they're in a body bag, like because Mary was in deep pain and couldn't escape from her own death, he was imagining body bags. And, you know, they're constantly like writhing around in pain, trying to get out of them.
See, that's curious. You think it's when there was part of me that thought sometimes maybe there are also bits of James.
Okay, interesting.
Some of those types of enemies, the lying figures and
like his own like inability to escape or kind of forgive himself. I mean, that's definitely a possibility too.
Yeah, well, however many times he's just turned into some.
Yeah,
how many times he's done this or how long he's turned into a horrible monster like over and
right. That's
and
true.
There's just like a. Yeah. I don't know though. It could be as the bubble nurses. Yeah, I could.
So, yeah, so the bubble.
Say, that I could definitely see as a thing of Maria/Mary. It could have been.
The bubble head nurses, right? Yeah, they're very sexualized. They look like what you would find if you Googled nurse costume and, you know, have seen many times at Halloween parties. Like it says something when you don't even have to type in sexy nurse costume. You just type nurse costume and it pulls up basically the outfit from that.
Is it candy striper?
Short,
it's like the
short,
candy striper.
Short skirt options only.
Yeah.
You know, it has to also be the way that James was most likely ogling the nurses in the hospital when Mary was a patient and she was looking sicker and sicker.
That's a good thought, yeah.
The name Bubblehead, and you mentioned this because of the weird way that their heads look. So this one I looked up out of curiosity. And the reason they're called bubbleheads is because they have a full head mask on, and it's actually half full of liquid and blood, so it makes it kind of balloon out. But on top of that, the fact that they're trying to avoid suffocating in the liquid is why they jerk their head around all the time in like that really unsettling way.
Okay.
So yeah, there's that. I mean, a couple of other ones. So the mandarins, to me, they just seem like kind of creeps that lurk beneath the shadows and strike when they find an opportune moment, but they might be James's intrusive thoughts of killing her as Mary got worse and was treating him poorly. See, I wrote some of these down because I was just, you know, curious, like trying to keep my thoughts straight here. The flesh lip is trapped in a cage, right? Seems to be Mary's hospital bed. The lips part kind of resembles some form of communication because none of the enemies before that had mouths. They all had their heads obscured or non-existent. I'm not sure that I track what exactly is going on there.
I don't know. Flesh lips to me is the mouth is just in a very, very weird place. And I think that's just, I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks that that's just some developer or graphic designer who just
wanted to get their
they have something like James on in their head psychologically. Because that fight, when I first saw that, I was like, what in God's name is this? Yeah. And who ever thought to create this?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So there's the abstract daddy, right? Angela's monster and her worst nightmare. It seems to be an embodiment of being trapped in a sexual abuse situation. You know, there's very clearly two human body shaped things that are fused together and covered in skin and framed in a cage. So I think of all the enemies, this one gave me the creeps the most. And it's just so effed up. So, I mean, here, if not throughout the entire game, here is where it definitely earned its trigger warning message that pops up every time you load the game up.
Definitely.
There's the, let's see, the mannequins. They've got to have some kind of meaning, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And then pyramid head.
I just think they're just terrifying things that jump out at you. Like that was my thing. I didn't say it in the hotel. They just, many times I ran into a room to go look and they just jump out from somewhere and it's just caught me completely off guard and scared me.
Yeah, I will be forever haunted by the mannequins.
I think they're more there to be an annoyance.
Don't want to see one in the store anytime soon. Yeah, I think so too. And then, Pyramid Head. So he's labeled as an executioner in a Silent Hill Historical Society painting, and Pyramid Head seems to be the executioner who's ready to punish James for the guilt that he's feeling and the guilt that he's suppressing and in denial over about killing Mary. But he gets a chance to execute James time and time again and doesn't do it by chasing James or throwing him or scaring him, and which he does many times. He just keeps forcing James to continue on the path to maybe redemption, maybe judgment, maybe death, or at least stop denying what he did and accepting it. I think this is maybe where the double pyramid boss comes into play, because up until that point you had seen a single pyramid head the whole game and all of a sudden there are two. So my theory is that each pyramid head like person represents the need for judgment, and the one who followed you all throughout the game is doing it for killing Mary, but the new second one is for killing Eddie, the other real human.
Other real human, yeah.
Which may also be why they both end up impaling themselves, because James just blurts out at the end of the boss fight, "I don't need you anymore." And it just kind of really just abruptly ends.
Yeah, it does really abruptly end. Is it that one like caught me off guard at the end of that boss fight?
I mean, we were both expecting phase two, and then they just end and themselves.
I think the pyramid heads. I think you're right on that. I also think between what would be real Silent Hill and Otherworld Silent Hill, I think they actually were in real Silent Hill during that time of the plague and other stuff. It was like, it's like an executioner you see back in the medieval times where they wear that mask of like a black rag mask over their head. But these guys just had these pyramid things over their head and they were just the executioners. But in the other world, I don't know. I don't know if maybe it's a little bit more fused onto them or.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like some slight difference with it, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they're the same both in.
My big question is, how do they see with those things on? There's no window in there.
Yeah, that's true. I don't
it's know. Like Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. Gotta slide open a window. I mean, that kind of covers most of it. I guess the last enemy was like those little cockroach things that go after you once in a while. Is there meaning behind that, or is it just like a phobia of insects? Whatever.
I don't know.
Probably inconsequential. All right. Well, we've been through the game. What would you rate this one?
So starting this off, I was a little like, I was skeptical for us to play and start this game, because I'm not like, I like survival horror, but I'm not a big survival horror fan. Like, I love Dead Space. It took me a little bit to get into this game, and I'll admit it. I was a little nervous and scared to play this game. I played most of it for a while during the day, not at night. But the further I got into the game and more comfortable I got, I ended up like playing stuff at night. I think I beat the final boss, everybody, at night or whatever. I beat it all. Yeah. And I was really enjoying the game. And I found myself actually after beating it the next day wanting to go back in. But I was like, I beat it. But then wanting to potentially start a new game plus, because I was like, it was just unique and a lot of fun, and that was terrifying. Like, it was a good story and I had a really good time, and I was like, Silent Hill is trying to pull me back.
Yep.
Yeah, I did not.
That's not a good sign.
No, I started
Ghost. Or it is. It's a good sign of great game development, but it's not a good sign.
It is. But no, I was thinking maybe one day I might try a new game plus. Maybe not right away. I'm not gonna do it right away. But it was by the end, I really enjoyed it. It was a phenomenal remake. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure the original was also incredible. But this just as a remake, how it looked, the sound, everything, it was incredible. I would probably give this, very little mechanics is what I don't like. Like, his dodging was a little iffy, but then I got pretty good at dodging at the end and figuring it out. Like, mm-hmm. with the dual pyramid head battle, I was getting pretty good at dodging their attacks and mm-hmm. not getting hit as much. The only thing was like the action button of sometimes just trying to pick stuff up where the circle would fill itself and then instantly unfill itself. Like, that was a little bit.
Yeah.
And then a couple times of like, if you try and hit something a few times with there were a few times with enemies, try and hit enemies or run up to an enemy, hit with a pipe, and James would just swing way early and miss.
Yeah.
And then I'd get hit and I was like, oh, like that. But it's a very minor, minor thing. So I would rate this high. I'd probably say a 9.5 out of 10. I didn't think it would. I thought for me it might be like a 7 or 8, but I enjoyed my time with this Silent Hill 2 remake. It terrified me. It made me jump, but it kept me intrigued the whole way through. Like, the whole story, everything.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
That is a solid review right there. And okay, you're in luck, because Bloober Team is, I don't know what, there's a defined release date, but they're working now, because of the success of this remake, they're working on Silent Hill 1 remake. So we'll have some more to get to if before or after we play Silent Hill F.
Yeah, if that's true, and they are making, like, I will be very excited. I've never played the first Silent Hill either. Obviously knew, but I've seen the movie and all, but I would jump into that pretty quickly. I don't think that would be as long on my backlog. I think I'd be really excited to play.
Nice. Silent Hill grabbed you and didn't let go.
Silent Hill F, Silent Hill F looks incredible. It looks great from what I've watched little bits of gameplay footage of people on Twitch playing it. It's completely different compared to like what we just played. It might be one though that's on a little bit still on the stay in the backlog for a bit,
right?
Just because it's also like, I think brand new story and all that, so all different types. So, but it does look good.
Wow. Okay, I'm impressed. I'm glad you enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I did.
And you mentioned the original Silent Hill 2, which I owned way back when, but haven't had it in a long time, and it is either incredibly difficult to find or incredibly expensive.
It is
to get in its original format now. And but I did, out of curiosity, after finishing this, a day later, hopped on YouTube, and because it's a much shorter game, I had read about that already. They added a lot of sections and a lot of detail, obviously, here in the remake. But I watched some of the original, and yes, of course, it's dated. That's why they made a remake to begin with. But it's almost kind of just funny. I mean, some of the items are in different places, and things are a lot smaller. Like I'd be watching, and you'd go down like three hallways and be in like one of the major puzzle or moment sections of the apartments, and I just be like, "What? How are we there already?" And so, I mean, also those, some of the animations are hilarious. Like, there's no like realistic swing combo for the wood with the nails. It's really just a bop on the head on the enemies, and he just kind of has, and it has like a springboard thing where he just like goes down and then immediately bounces back up, and it's that the only attack animation. And right, it has tank controls. So anyway, it's not like super user friendly unless you like that kind of thing or are a fan of the original releases. Probably won't visit it at any point, but still kind of fun to watch the full. I'll probably finish watching the full playthrough just to see how it ends up comparing to this, you know, 20 plus hour game. At least it was about how long it took me. Yeah, I mean, I think I'd agree. I'd probably put this at a 9, 9, 9.5. I think on my end, you hit most of the good points, that really the fluidity and consistency of the controls is my only real drawback. I got to a point, and it happened a lot in the two final bosses, where I would dodge, like do a really good dodge, and then I would hit L2 or hold L2 to like pull my shotgun, and nothing would happen. And it happened like 20 times or something, so it was really starting to bother me. So like that kind of thing, right? The action button wouldn't show up because it was a really small window. Like those kinds of details were a little annoying, but great game, great story. Really happy we chose this as our horror game for the podcast, because yeah, I think we were thinking of some Resident Evil ones, and I probably will jump into Resident Evil 3 remake at some point soon, because I've had that on my list for a bit. It was great. Parting thoughts: getting to the end of this game really made me want to watch the movie Shutter Island again, which I haven't seen since it came out. Mostly just because of, right, all the weird psychological hallucinations and misunderstandings and all that. Really good movie. I mean, Scorsese's does great. Departed is probably one of my favorites of all time. I've only seen Shutter Island once, though, so I gotta check it out. I can say at this point, I definitely will also watch the Return to Silent Hill movie based on Silent Hill 2 whenever it comes to streaming, even if it ends up being a terrible B movie like most people expect, just out of morbid curiosity.
Yeah, I'm going to be very curious on, obviously, they're not going to put all the stuff that's in this game, obviously, into the movie. You can't fit all that.
Yeah, they can't.
But I'm curious on what they'll, like, if there is like Eddie and Angela and all that, like, it'll be fun to Laura. See who we'll see in there and how they do the story.
Right. Yeah, I'm curious. Again, so I confirmed it too, is Laura, the actress that played the voice acting and mocap for Laura in Silent Hill 2 Remake, is playing Laura in the movie.
Awesome.
So, yeah, should be interesting.
I like that. Good. I'm glad they did that. That's cool.
What was your favorite thing about this game?
Ooh, favorite thing.
And okay, my follow-up question, just in case it overlaps, is what was the scariest part for you?
Scariest parts are the prison was definitely the scariest place for me. It took me,
spoiler alert,
a while to get through. Yeah, spoiler alert, the prison is terrifying.
Just for me, it's just pure darkness and the chittering of the spider mannequins.
Yeah, that was not fun.
It just gets you. Yeah.
But I don't... What I liked about it, I don't know. I liked a lot. I mean, I ended up enjoying sort of the combat at the end. I enjoyed the boss fights. I'll say that. They were all kind of unique. I did enjoy the boss fights. I did think those were fun. I also liked that they weren't too difficult, where I'm getting killed within seconds like every time, and I had to do them like over and over and over. I'm glad they weren't massively difficult. I'm sure, obviously, I mean, we were both playing on standard difficulty for both that and the puzzles. The puzzles were a lot of fun too, figuring it all out.
Yeah, accessibility wise for this type of survival horror, I think it was fantastic to separate the difficulty of combat and puzzles, which really gives it that extra customizability. And you know, I think they did a good job with the puzzles, where they make it intuitive enough to not need to think that you need a guide of any sort and just figure it out. And it makes you feel smart for doing it.
Yeah. I will say if I do a new game plus, I might actually, I don't know, I might keep it on standard. I don't think I'd do the battle, the combat harder.
I'd keep combat at normal, but I'd switch the puzzles to hard. Yeah.
Yeah. I would turn the puzzles up to hard because I do know, I believe if you do hard, it's different answers. So, or they give you, or certain things have more lines or more words or whatever to figure out, more clues to figure out. So, which would be fun. I mean, after playing, we love the Uncharted games, all that, everything that has all these puzzles, Tomb Raiders, all these types of games. Like, I love the Indiana Jones games. I love doing puzzles and games. I don't mind it. So, I love it. So, I would definitely, on a new game plus, turn that up. But yeah, those are definitely some of the things I really liked about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, prison, absolutely most terrifying. My favorite things, I think some of the puzzles specifically, don't have any examples in the moment, but really enjoyed that.
I like
that
the coin
aspect.
One. The first coin one, where you picked between the guy, the girl, and the snake.
Yeah. Where you make a decision, yeah.
That was
cool.
That was good.
I think just, like, walking through the fog in town was cool. And then, I don't know. It just, like, blanket statement as a whole just like really gets under your skin or into your head in a way that like you know how creepy and scary it is, but it's still you just can't stop thinking about it, which is a unique effect that not all the games do.
Yeah.
And I just really like how they did it, and I think my favorite thing, and I've mentioned it multiple times throughout these episodes, is those little details, you know, the sound effects, the sound design, the lighting, just did so well.
Totally agree. Sound effects, soundtrack, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't be buying it on vinyl because I do not want to hear that stuff at all on a regular basis, but it was great while playing.
I actually have it on vinyl.
Do you? Okay.
I'll put it on vinyl for Halloween and blast it outside so when kids come up to the door, they
know
just
that's not a bad idea. You better hope they don't have the Labyrinth Gauntlet rooms alarm in there though. God, that was terrible.
Oh, that would be the second they would walk up to the door, the alarm just goes off. Just
instead of the ha 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 that they have it at the stores, and don't do that, you're gonna get banned from the neighborhood. I'll say the game took me to a lot of places, types of places and environments I wasn't expecting at all. I figured the foggy town and the apartment and the hospital and other buildings like that in a normal town would feature heavily, but didn't even know an other world existed or definitely didn't expect to be in the prison and the labyrinth that are just so intense and so out there conceptually that I'm really impressed at how they came up with it to begin with when they first made the game. Another big question mark that I still have, I want to know about the numbers on the backs of the strange photos and the weird flashback type remembrance items around the world. What are they for? Does anybody listening know? If yes, let us know on Discord. If no,
I think I know for the remembrance ones, like the little glimmers, like the past. I think they're glimmers of the past as in the old original game. I think they're little odes to the original game.
Things that don't exist in this one.
So, yeah, like there's, I remember because I looked up, one of them I looked up and it said like, oh, this glimmer of the past is like, this is where whatever it was. I think it was the Haven or Heavens, whatever nightclub was in this location in the original where it's different in the remake. It's just like, that's what it was. So I think those are little odes. So I don't know about the strange photos. Maybe I should have gone back and looked because they have the numbers, and I'm assuming
because the strange photos are not optional. You don't have to. I figured they were part of a large, elaborate, optional puzzle that you piece together once you have all of them and unlock something. And I guess that's possible because I don't think I found it 100% of them. But I also get the feeling that they're just there to add vibes.
Yeah,
but if anyone knows, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was going to be able to like piece them together in order by number and it'll create some photo or something. Yeah. Some big scene.
Some giant puzzle. Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe not. I will say, and I just noticed today that I've been doing it while speaking about the events of the story and our actions through gameplay. So there's a phenomenon in social psychology that often comes about when people are talking about sports due to the natural desire to kind of positively associate with events whenever possible. So many people, usually subconsciously, when their sports team wins a game or a series or a championship, they say, "We won." But when their team loses, they say they lost. Despite not being part of the team or in any way affiliated besides being a fan, people want to feel like they have contributed positively. But when the team loses, they dissociate to a third-person perspective since they weren't part of why that negative result happened. So I think I've been doing that here, mentioning I or we when we're making progress, but then James is the one doing something when he does it, something really effed up in these terrible situations. Kind of odd, but just food for thought.
Yeah.
Another fun fact that I found out actually about the fog in the Silent Hill series. So in the original release, since they didn't use pre-rendered backgrounds like so many games in that time period, they had to find a way to hide the fact that the draw distance of the horizon was terrible. So they used fog to cover it up. If you ask me, that's just about the best accidental creation of the perfect atmosphere I've ever seen in a game.
Yeah, that's just smart. Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, I mean, at this point, I'll say this game will stick with me. At this current moment, I think it'll be my new benchmark for horror games, at least as far as the overall mood and atmosphere of how I measure horror is. I'm sure other games in the Silent Hill series will also give it a run for its money, and I can't necessarily say the gameplay itself is perfect by any means. I think it's probably one of the least enjoyable aspects. But I think the combat of other series, of other survival horror series, is better. Resident Evil is a great example. There are some other ones that are quite fun.
Dead Space, I think, is a bit...
Dead Space is probably the top, now that you mentioned it. And finally, there have been some rumors swirling around about a brand new DLC for Silent Hill 2 Remake called Born from a Wish, where you play as Maria. That may or may not actually exist. I think people data mined the code and saw that in there. If it's true and does exist, it might release pretty soon. If that does happen, we'll be sure to revisit the game and add a bonus episode to this season about it, and we can all discover what it's about together. I guess technically at that point, it's not a backlog item, but it's a continuation of this season. Are there any other things you wanted to touch on?
No, just I had a really good time here playing Silent Hill 2. As I said, I was a little, not nervous, but a little hesitant about playing it, picking it, just like as much for survival horror. I'd be like, oh, am I going to massively enjoy it? But no, it hooked me. I really enjoyed it. And I'm so glad that we did play it and that we did pick this as our horror slash like Halloween-y October game.
Same.
Summer Hawk, yeah.
And it, you know, it tells you something across all levels, especially the story level, that this is by far our longest episode to date of the podcast. There really is so much to unpack in Silent Hill 2, and we're sure there are official Konami answers to certain things or other fan theories, but we want to know what you got out of the story, so let us know on Discord. And otherwise, tune in next time to find out which game Season 7 of the Gaming Backlog Book Club will be about.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And yeah, we can't wait to hear all your guys' feedback of finishing Silent Hill 2 with us and what you guys all think of everything within the town, the characters, everything. So thank you again for listening, and have a good one. If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of Nave Games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.